Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is life to those who find it, and it is health and healing to our flesh. Father, I pray now that as we open your word today, that life comes, faith flows, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I pray that you achieved and attained some goals this week. Amen. That some of your dreams may be manifested. We got to take a hold of our dream. We got to grab it. We got to run at it until we attain it. Amen. So praise the Lord. I wanted to talk to you today about some things that I consider one of them to be the most important. The Word of a God calls this one of the greatest things. So if you open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. What are we going to talk about today? Love. Hallelujah. Love. Yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm not going to read chapter 13. We're going to read verse 13. This should be easy for all of you to remember. 13:13. Right. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Here's what he says. He says, "And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love." We know that according to Galatians, our faith will not work without love. Amen. Our faith, according to Galatians, must work through and by love. Well, we need our faith to work, don't we? Yeah. We need our faith to work. We need, how can we attain our dreams and our goals if we're not using our faith properly? And in order to use our faith properly, we must mix it with love. Amen? So, if you would please, go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew. Move on over to Matthew. Praise God. Matthew 22. Oh, let's start in verse 34. It says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he," meaning Jesus, "had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together." He silenced them, so they decided to rise up against him, didn't they? Sounds like a lot of people do that to pastors today. Rose up together against him. "Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment.'" What is it? It is the first and great commandment. And he says this in verse 39, "And the second is like it. Ye shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. So, number one, this is the first and great command. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul or your mind. Right? Yeah. So we love him up here and we love him in here. Right? And with all of our might or our strength. Right? So basically encompassing everything that we are, we're to love our God. Amen. We're to love our God with everything we are. People don't understand that. Well, I don't tithe. Well, why not? Well, because I don't have to. That was Old Testament. No, it's New Testament. That's right. But regardless of the situation, when God spoke it in his word, doesn't say that it stops. God's word does not change. Amen. It never fails. That's right. Right? So why do we tithe? Well, we tithe to be obedient. We tithe because God said to. We also tithe because there are some benefits to tithing, isn't there? Absolutely. We also bring offerings because it's a command. One, there are benefits with it, right? Benefits of giving offerings is, as you sow, you shall reap, right? If you bless others, you'll be blessed, amen, right? What you sow, you shall reap. In our giving, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. So as you give, it is given to you. As you tithe, God's window is open. Amen. Blessing is to be poured out on you. Yeah. that there's not room to receive. And then he rebukes the devourer for our sake. What a benefit. So that everything that he's given us and blessed us with, the devil cannot take from you. Why? Because he's been rebuked by God. Well, okay. That's a good reason to tithe. Or a good reason to give, right? Amen. We don't give to get, even though you can, and sometimes we have to. Farmers don't sow their seed just to let it sit there in the ground. They sow their seed to reap. We sow our seed to reap. Also to bless. We sow to bless and we sow to reap. Amen. That's why he says, sow cheerfully. Give cheerfully. Yeah. Out of the goodness and abundance of your heart. Be happy.
Hilarious.
Be happy. Yeah, be hilarious in your giving. Amen. Absolutely. Be happy about your giving. So the first and the great commandment is to love the Lord thy God. Yeah. Second is to, and it says, is like it. To love your neighbor as yourself. Now, here's where I have a problem. Here's where many believers have a problem. How am I going to love somebody when I can't stand myself? If I love my neighbor as myself, and I can't stand myself, guarantee you, I can't stand my neighbor. What do we do? Uh-oh, I got to forgive myself.
Amen.
I've got to go to God and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of whatever the thing may be. All right, forgive me. Forgive me for not forgiving myself. We talked last week about not looking behind us.
Amen.
Forgetting the faults and the failures, right? And going toward our prize. Yep. Go toward that prize. Can't go forward if you're always looking back.
Amen.
You're going to fall on your face. That's why I like to watch cops. You ever watch cops when the guys are running? They're running from the cops and he looks back and trips. You know, splat, you know.
Boom.
Yeah. What happens? Well, they're too busy looking back to try to find out where the cops are. They can't see what's coming in front of them. When you're looking behind you, you can't see the blessings right in front of you. When husbands and wives are looking at the failures that they do between each other, they can't look at the love that they have in front of them. They lose that the sight of that love that they have in the first place. Because they're always looking at their faults. Or what this person said to me, or what that person did to me, or what. Whoosh, we got to forgive. We've got to begin to love ourselves.
Yeah.
Now, there's an easy way to do that. Ask God for forgiveness. See, listen, I know me. I know what I've done, or how I've sinned against God. You know how you've sinned against God, okay? We know our faults. We must wipe them out, forget them, forgive ourselves as God forgives us. Now, God's word tells us in Hebrews that he forgets. He says, our sin and our iniquity, he remembers no more. So then what do I always say? What right do we have to remember our own sins? Now, don't think the devil doesn't bring them up. But we rebuke him and command him to be quiet.
Yeah.
And just say, I'm forgiven. My God loves me.
Amen.
He don't like you.
Yeah.
He don't like you at all. He kicked you out of heaven. He likes me, though. Loves me. Sent his own son for me. Not for you, but for me.
Right.
I mean, rub it right in his face. Because that's all he's trying to do is rub your faults in your face. To keep you mindful of the things behind you, of your faults and failures, so you can't love your neighbor as you would love yourself. So I forget. I let go. I let go of the evil things or mean things I've ever said to my wife. I let go of the evil things and the things that I may have said and done against God. I let go of them. And in order to let go of them, you've got to forget them.
Yes.
Forget them. How do you forget? It's pretty easy. You just forget. We forget stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Forget to wear your seatbelt. Get a ticket. Right? Yeah. Oh, man. You know, you forgot. Oh, forgot my wallet. Can't pay for that. Wife says it all the time. You're going to have to pay for this. Forgot my wallet.
Yeah.
I'm like, you forgot it or you just decided to leave it in your purse? In the car. You know, what's the deal, Neil? And I know this happens a lot. So she's real forgetful of the money. Just kidding. But amen, right? We forget things all the time. Why can't we forget then what we've been forgiven of? Yeah, and that's true. We feel, but we shouldn't. We shouldn't have to feel bad. Why? Because we're forgiven, see? I feel bad at what I may have said or done to my wife. But when she says, I forgive you and I love you, oh man, forget about it. I'm all wiped out. You win. What do you want? More money? Yeah. Whatever it takes. Why? Because she's forgiven me. And God does the same thing with us. He forgives us. And he says, hey, I forgive you. I've washed you clean. I've parted your sin as far as the east is from the west. You can't see it. That's how much I love you. Oh, man, I'm putty in your hands. What do you want me to do now? You know, where do you want me to go, Lord? What do you want me to do, Lord? Why? Well, it's because he loves us. So we've got to do the same. I need to love my neighbor as I love myself. In order to love myself, maybe I have to say it by faith. In the name of Jesus, I love myself. Yeah. I don't love what I've done, but I love myself. I don't love my faults and failures, but I love myself. I know who I am inside.
That's right.
And I know this about me. I love God.
Amen.
I know this about me. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
I love Him. I love me. I love Him because He first loved me.
All right.
And He loved me and didn't even know me.
Amen.
Wow. Sent His own Son to die for me. Wow. Makes it easier to begin to love myself when He can love me.
Right.
And if God can love me, well, I'm lovable. Amen.
That's right.
And I just walk in forgiveness.
That's right.
Therefore, I can walk in love. So I love my neighbor as myself. Amen. Let's look at 1 John. 1 John 3. Praise God. 1 John 3. Hallelujah. There's so much about love here in 1 John. Love is throughout 1 John. You'll see as you read it. And I recommend, if you're trying to love yourself or love someone else, read it. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 1, 2, and 3 John. Read them all. It's very important. You get to know the heart of God in all of it. All right, so 1 John chapter 3. And let us... Oh, boy. See, if I get into this, I'm going to read a lot. Let's start in verse 16 is what it is. It says this, by this we know love, because he laid down, talking about Jesus, his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for who?
For him.
The brethren. He says to lay down our lives for the brethren. Oh, what does that mean? If I lay down my life for my brethren, I'm putting them first.
That's right?
Right?
Yep.
I got to put them first then, don't I? If I'm laying down my life. Laying down my life is sacrificial. It's sacrificial. Sacrificial for my brethren. Sacrificial for my wife. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ has loved the church and gave his life for her. What do? I love my wife. So in order to love my wife, what do? I have to give my life for her. I give myself to her. I give my life to her. Amen. That's how I love her. Let's keep reading. Verse 17 says, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need. And a lot of people don't like this verse. Let's read it again. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him. How does the love of God abide in him? When you see your brother in need, what do? We meet the need. He says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth.
Yes.
And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, which the devil likes to do, he says this, for if our heart condemns us, oh man, God is greater. God is, even if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments. What? Because we keep what? His commandments. Oh, no. lot of people think that the Ten Commandments we don't have to abide by.
Yeah.
That's half the problem of this world. Anyway. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments. And do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment. You ready? That we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. So it's a commandment, isn't it? To love one another. Then he goes on in verse 24 and says, now he who keeps His commandments and abides in Him, talking about Jesus, He in Him, and by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us. Wow. So, if we believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then love one another, we're keeping His commandments. Amen? Yeah. Believing on the name of the Lord. Believing in Jesus Christ as being the Son of God. A lot of people believe in Jesus Christ. Do you know that? There's a lot of people believe in Him. Oh yeah, they believe He was a good teacher. Some of them believe He was a good prophet. Some people believe, oh, He was a real nice guy. Oh yeah, I know that story about that guy, Jesus. Yeah, I've heard about Him. Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, oh yeah, that's a good story. Yeah, yeah. Is he your master? Have you asked Him into your heart to be your Savior and be your Lord? No. It's important. Wait a minute. You mean you could miss it that simply? You could miss it?
Yes.
Just because, oh, yeah, I know about that guy. There's a lot of people that know about that guy. But a lot of them haven't accepted Him as the Son of God.
Amen.
And as their a substitute for the penalty of sin and death. And believing on Him, believing in His name, believing that He's the Son of God. Wow. So that's what we must do. And then love one another.
Amen.
Love one another. Oh, isn't that fun? Because sometimes that's not easy to do. Especially when you have to love somebody who's close to you and likes to get under your skin. Purposely. On purpose. Purposefully. Yeah. Usually that's family. Family's real good at it. Friends are good at it. They like to antagonize. Husbands and wives are real good at it. That shouldn't be there. Amen? We've got to love one another. So, we start by loving ourselves. Start by loving yourself. Walking away from your faults and failures. Don't look behind anymore. Only look forward and look ahead to the love and blessings that God has. And then begin to love one another. Loving one another means that you're not bitter towards anyone. Love one another means you're not keeping things in your heart about others. Love one another means you're not gossiping. See, you can't love one another but gossip about one person. That means you're not loving one another. You have to love all brethren. Love all brethren. Even the ones you don't want to love, you must love. Now, what is love? Well, if we read in 1 Corinthians 13, we'll see what love is. But as you look at 1 Corinthians 13, you're going to see love is an action. It's not just something you say. It's something you do.
Amen.
It's who you are.
Yes.
Love hopes, he says. Love never fails. Love, we see out of faith, hope, and love, is the greater. Love.
Right.
Let's look at 1 John 4. Got a little bit of reading to do on this one. 1 John 4. And, oh, let us start in verse 11. 1 John 4, verse 11 says, Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Well, he's just hitting it home, isn't he?
Yeah.
No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. If we love one another, God abides in us. God is?
Love.
What is God?
Love.
The Word says God is love.
Amen.
So, he just said, If we love one another, God abides in us. Oh, wow. You want God to abide in you? Begin to love. You want God to abide in you? Begin to love. You want God to be a part of your marriage? Then love one another. Love one another. If you'll insert love into your relationship, who are you inserting?
God.
You're actually, when you insert love into your marriage or into your relationship, you are literally placing God into the situation. Yeah. You can't lose. When you love, you're putting God in position when you love. When you show love, when you act on, when you give, do an action of love, you're doing an action of God. You're being God-like, just as we are to be Christ-like. That's amazing. When you show love, when you hope in all things, you're placing God into all things. We ought to really read that, but, and maybe we will. Won't be today. Let's keep reading here. Verse 13 again. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. We have seen and we also do something. What do? We testify. We testify that God has sent His Son into the earth as Savior. That's called preaching the gospel, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's called getting people born again, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who would have ever thought that you could get 25 people born again in a funeral?
Really?
But God can do it. And God did it. Didn't He?
Yes, He did.
25 people in a funeral
raised
their hand to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. God can do anything. He can do it all. Amen. What a great place to preach life where there was death. Right? Amen. God can do all things. So we've seen and we testify about our Lord Jesus. And we tell the whole world He's our Savior. Amen. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. So if we testify, right? If we confess, testify that Jesus is the Son of God, then God abides in us.
Amen.
What else? Then if God abides in us, what abides in us?
Love.
Love.
Yeah.
It is doable.
Yeah.
It's doable. You can do it. All right.
Yeah.
You can do it. Verse 16 says, and when we have known and believed the love that God has for us, God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Wow. Didn't he just say a ton? All right, we're going to keep reading here. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. You know there's no fear in God. So there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment.
Amen.
This should never be in a relationship. Never be in a marriage. Never be in a family. Because that'd be fear, and that would be torment. In a family, there should be love and love only. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. That's a fun one, right? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Uh-oh. You ever know anybody who is always afraid? Always walking in fear? Always thinking that the other shoe's going to drop? Always looking for the next bad thing to happen? I know some people like that. Always, it is what it is. No, it ain't is what it is. And we need to stop saying it is what it is. It's not what it is. We can change what it is. We can change what it is by our confession of our faith, by the word of God.
That's right.
It isn't is what it is.
That's right.
It is what I say it is.
That's right.
Right? That's
right.
We frame our world.
Amen.
We frame our world. We don't let the world frame us.
That's right.
Or frame our world. They'll keep us in a box.
Amen.
That's what the devil wants. He wants to keep you in a box. He wants to keep you sick, financially broke, and always in fear.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Tormented.
That's right.
of what's the next bad thing that's going to happen to me. Well, that's not God. That is not God. Verse 19, we love him, meaning Jesus or God, because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. Well, that's pretty plain and simple, I think, yeah? I think he kind of just laid it right out there. If anyone, let's read it again, says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. Oh, man. By this, we know that we love the children of God. That's how we love one another. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. All right. Did you just see all that was just said here? Wow. So much has just been said, and we're only talking about a very little half of a chapter. Read 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. It's not hard. It's easy reading. And it's all love. Amen. It's important because if we want our faith to work, according to Galatians, we must love. If we want to abide in God, then we must abide in love. Just as he abide, we got to love ourselves and love our neighbor. These are commandments. We can't hate our brother. If we do and try to say we love God, we're a liar. I'm not a liar.
That's right.
They all have their place in hell, the Bible says. I'm not in. I ain't in. I'm not going. You can't make me. Jesus is my Lord and Savior, like it or not. Hallelujah. God's love then is perfected in us when we love one another. God's love is perfected in us when we can love one another. Despite our faults and failures, despite all the things that have gone on, despite what's going on in your own life. Sometimes we have to put, it's not all about us. It's not all about me. We have to take that step and say, it's not all about me. This is about my friend, my brother, my sister, someone who needs love.
Yeah.
Why are we here on this earth? To love one another.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty simple.
Sure.
It's pretty simple. It's not easy to do, but it's pretty simple. But the more you do it, right,
yeah,
the easier it will get. It will be easier to love those who are only trying to hurt you. When you see God step into that situation and fix it, or he removes the situation, whatever he has to do. But when you insert God, it's in his hands. It's all God's hands.
Amen.
I love you, brother. Love you. You know, I love you. You know, I love you. Amen. God's love is perfected in us when we love one another. By loving one another, God dwells in us. By loving one another, God dwells in us. Perfection comes in love, for God and love are one.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hey! All right, running out of time. I want to read verse 7 here. Let's read verse 7 of 1 John 4. Verse 7 says this, Beloved, let us love one another. Here we are again. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Oh, wait a minute. Read that again. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. When I love, I'm born of God and I know God. How about this? When I love, I'm born of love and I know love. Because God is love.
Amen.
Oh, so do you want to know love? Start to know God.
Yeah.
You want to know God, you'll have to know love. They're hand in hand. They cannot be separated. God is love. Amen. Verse 8 says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. You can't say that you know God if you don't love. He just said you don't know God if you don't love. In this, verse 9, in this the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that he might live through him. Oh! Who's living through Jesus? God! Didn't you see that? Let's do it again. Verse 9, in this, the love of God was manifested toward us that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that he might live through him. That was God's whole objective, was to live through his Son here in the earth. Why do you think Jesus said, then I've come to reveal the Father? What do you think he said to Peter? If you have seen me, Peter, you've seen the Father. Why? Because God sent him here to the earth so he could live through him.
Yes.
That's a great verse. I love it. Verse 10 says this, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God stepped in. God stepped in for our sin. God stepped in for our sin, took it upon himself, paid the penalty, beat the devil up, took the keys of death and Hades, and then rose up.
That's right. Come on.
I love that story. That's a quick one. But hallelujah. This is how important loving is. Loving one another is a fruit of being born from above. Being born from, excuse me, being born from above. Loving one another is the fruit that you know God.
Amen.
Uh-oh. You mean that proves that I love God and that I know God? Yes, we just read it. Read it again. Go to John 15. I think we'll get this one done maybe. And we'll have to stop. John 15. Anybody hot? Pretty warm, right? Yes, me too. All right, John 15. Hallelujah. This is Jesus talking. Let's start in verse 9. It says, as the Father loved me, he's talking about, this is Jesus talking. He says, as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Abide in my, how did Jesus love us? Well, he laid down his life for us.
Amen.
Laid down his life for us, right? He says, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You want to abide in the love of God? Keep his commandments.
Yes. Glory.
Oh, what do you mean keep them commandments? Oh, thought we were done with those things. Keep his commandments. The world's been trying to get them out of the courthouses for years. They've gotten them out of the schools, they're getting them out of the courthouses, they're doing everything to get the Ten Commandments out. Why do you think we're in such a mess in this earth today with knuckleheads that are 30 years old messing around with 14-year-olds?
Yeah.
Because it's sick.
Yeah.
There's a spirit of unnatural bleh.
Yeah, yeah.
It's unclean. It's, the Bible calls the deep darkness shall cover the earth. Deep darkness. We're there. In the end times, this place is going to be like the days of Lot and the days of Noah. I think we're there.
Yeah.
Oh, I think we're there.
Oh, yeah.
We are so far off track from what we were 50 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're way off of what we were 20 years ago, but wow. It's just in the past 8 to 10 years how far we've gone slant. It's a mess. It is a mess. People are sick in their minds. They're sick in their hearts. They're doing unnatural acts that are nothing to do with natural or humanism, but are of the evil, wicked, darkness, have nothing to do with God. Nothing to do with God. Don't care about God. What is going on with people today? It's the devil. It's the devil. You know, you always hear this, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Well, the Bible's clear on that. It gets worse before we get out of here. Well, I hope we get out of here quick. Because who could, I can't imagine how much worse this earth can be. Or how much worse the world can be to one another. He said, love one another. And they're not doing that. They're not doing that at all. The problem is we got them doing it even in the church. Hating one another. Gossiping about one another. When there's the easiest place we should be able to love one another. It's supposed to be the easiest place. Amen? Wow. That's terrible. I'm going to keep reading. Verse 11 says, and these things I've spoken, this is Jesus talking, to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. We want our joy to be full, then we must love. I want my joy to be full, therefore I must love. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as Jesus is telling us now. I mean, we've heard this 3-4 times now, but now Jesus is just running at home. He says, this I command you. This is my commandment, he says, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. To lay down one's life for his friends. That's true ultimate love. Sacrificial love. Amen. Where you put them first, put yourself last. I'm not talking about dying for somebody. I'm just right now talking about sacrifice, putting them first, you last, putting your time aside and spending time with them. What can I do? Can I help you, brother, sister? What can I do for you? Amen. Praise God. Greater love, he says. Greater love. Verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. What has he commanded us to do?
Love.
To love one another. That you'll do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. You want anything that you ask or think according to the power that worketh in you? Ephesians 3. You want Ephesians 3 to work?
Yes.
Right? We do. Ephesians 3, we know what it says. He will do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think according to the power that works in me.
Amen.
What's that power?
Yeah, Jesus.
Love.
The power of love.
That power is love.
Amen.
That power is love. Love must work in you. Love
Amen.
Must abide in you.
Right.
Love. That's when you'll see. Oh, that's when you'll see. Many signs, wonders, miracles. That's when you'll see your harvest come in. That's when you'll see what you have sown, you shall reap.
That's right.
That's when you'll see joy full in your life. Joyful in your life. Not joy empty. Joyful. How do I get there? Love. The very love, the very power of God abiding in me. Love working in me. Amen. Working through me. Amen. Right? When you're a friend of Jesus or a friend to Jesus, when you love, you're a friend to Jesus when you love one another. Amen. You're a friend to Jesus when you love one another. I tell you what, we're going to stop right there today, because my next point, we're going to go into 1 Corinthians 13, and we're going to spend some time in that. So let's stop right there for now. Praise God. Hope you got something good out of this today. I'm out of time. All right. Amen. Hallelujah. If you'll stand to your feet, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we bless you and we praise you. I thank you, Father, that you're showing us love.
Thank you, Lord.
And Father, I pray that you'll help us to abide in your love and to love one another. Help us, Father. Show us where we might be missing the mark here. We give you glory and honor. As we go this week, I pray, Father God, for your angels to be in charge over us, to guard and keep us in all of our ways. That in our pathway there is life and blessing. We give you glory and honor for it, Father, in Jesus' name. All of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Love you. God bless you. Have a blessed week.